Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Hey, Brad. It's Brad. It's time to go all in.
Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to have you here on the eve before the Flames come back from the NHL All-Star break. And it seems like this year has been like games break, games break. We just need to get on a roll and we're going to have that because it is jam-packed from here on out. 40 games, 80 days. If you're a Flames fan, oh, make sure you got batteries in the remote or get on out to the Saddle Dome because your nights are going to be filled from here on out. All-Star game last weekend. All-Star weekend in Las Vegas. I love Las Vegas. One of my favorite places to go. And, you know, a great place for the All-Star game and All-Star weekend. I just wish I liked the All-Star weekend. I don't like it. Even though Vegas is a number one destination, I try to hit some of these main NHL events, and this year I did not go to the All-Star game. I wish I would have. It had been good. I did not. Crowd looked a little weak for the skills competition. Looked full for the game, but I'm not sure what that was all about, or they were all buying beers, which are pricey at T-Mobile. I can vouch for that. Johnny was mic'd up. It was fun to see that. I like that lighter side of the players, and you know, Johnny's one of those guys that looked like he was so mad is so much in the last couple years, and this year he looks happy and good, and shit, he should be happy. He's producing at a rate that's gonna put a lot of money into his pocket, let's put it that way, right? What else happened at the All-Star game? You know what stole the show for the All-Star game? I honestly believe it's Steven Stamkos' kid. Stole the show. Get on YouTube, watch that. Her on Twitter, it was all over. It was everywhere. But it was interesting and it was fun because you could tell, you know, Steven was just there for his family. And that's good. That's what this is for, right? That's the most important thing in our lives is our family. His son asking, I want to see the Zamboni. I want to go see the Zamboni. And then a few minutes later, not even a few minutes, a few seconds later, I want to drive the Zamboni. The kid was just infatuated with the Zamboni. And heck, I think we all remember what it was like the first time we went to a game and saw a Zamboni. I think I went home and built one with Legos right away. It was cool. Hopefully the Flames players enjoyed All-Star break. I know Mahjupani and I think Craig Conroy and some of the other players staff stayed in Arizona for a while and enjoying the sunshine before heading back to Calgary. I used All-Star Weekend kind of as a vacation, to be honest with you. A vacation from hockey. I missed hockey on some of those nights. I did go to a junior game on Friday night. But I kind of shut the computer down on Friday and Saturday and didn't do anything for the pod or do anything just as far as watching. And it was all right. It was kind of nice. I did some things with my family. We had a good time. I did turn the TV on enough to see Connor Bedard's goal in Calgary against the Hitman, and holy cow. And you know what? I sit and I think about him. But you know what scares the hell out of me? Is the fact that I think Connor Bedard is like, his path is like destined to meet in Arizona. Is that not just a travesty? Could you see him starting his first game in front of 3,500 fans at ASU Arena? Come on, NHL. Really? Is this really where we're going to go? I hope not. I am so, so ready for the games this weekend. Oh, this week we start Wednesday, Thursday. We usually do this show Wednesday night. We're doing it Tuesday because, you know, we're going to sit and watch the game tomorrow night, aren't we? We're going to get on out to the Saddle Dome because good news, the Saddle Dome. Today, Calgary Sports and Entertainment just announced a few minutes ago that as of tomorrow, food and beverage is available at the Saddle Dome. Thank God. and there's no proof of vaccination. That's good news, too. Things are getting back to normal. And you know what? You're going to see a lot of smiles on people's faces. That's good. That's what we need, right? Be healthy. Live healthy and live normal and learn to adapt. And that's what we're going to do. And tomorrow night, you guys can sit down at the Saddle Dome and enjoy a cold beverage or a pop or some popcorn or a hot dog. And we're going to enjoy the game, and it's going to be a little bit more wild and a little bit more fun. We're going to get some more people into the stands soon and have Flames hockey back to normal. And I can't wait for that. Got a jam-packed show for you today. Lots and lots of stuff to talk about. You know what? It's time for the Flames to go all in. And I'm going to tell you why and give you justification on why this year is the year this team needs to go all in. Is a run waiting for us? I think so. And then Blake Fryers from the Debate Hockey Podcast is going to join the show. And we're going to talk about the Pacific Division, the logjam in the standings, and how the heck this division is going to sort itself out before the end of the season. And when we're going to go talk some Flames news, touch on a Facebook poll that you won't want to miss. And then we'll close the show previewing a ton of games, including three this week at the Saddle Dome. All right, Flames fans, it is time. Yes, it is time to go all in.
Oh, playoffs! Yeah, baby! Playoffs! Yeah, baby!
Ha ha. I remember that night of that call. Was it some good memories in the playoffs? We need to get back there and make some more memories. And yes, I've said it. I'm saying it now. It's time this year to go all in. And here's why. Number one, Gaudreau's having a career year, actually a Hart Trophy candidate year. Did we see that one coming? And there is no guarantee that he's back with the Flames next year. We don't know that for a fact. We can hope and we can pray that he's back. And I do, at the right price. But we don't know. And as a matter of fact, there's some facts that lead me to believe that there is a possibility that he won't be back next year. Number one, why hasn't he re-signed? I can't help but believe there haven't been discussions. He holds the cards. And that's a good thing if you're Johnny Gaudreau. And you know what? Someone will drastically overpay Johnny Gaudreau. And it's his right to go to free agency. He earned that. It's scary if you're a Flames fan. But he earned it. And someone will overpay, i.e. Philly, which is closer to his home, even though he said he wants to stay in Calgary, and he might want to stay in Calgary. But it's his right to test that free agency. And can we afford a huge contract on Gaudreau? I want to sign him. But like long term, is it really good for the team? I think it is, as long as we find manageable contracts for everybody to go along with it. But if it hogties us to the fact that we're stuck with no Kachuk or what do we do with Mangiapane and things like that, then I don't know. Number two, the reason is Shillington is having a huge year and he's costing us virtually nothing this year. And that's going to change next year because his price tag will go up. Now, I don't think it's going to be a huge expensive raise. I think it's going to be a raise and a decent one at that and well-deserved too. But he's literally had 1 year of success, so it's hard to go to the table too wild and crazy, right? At least we hope, right? Markstrom's having a great year. He's on the top of his game. And he's not getting any younger. So we need to take advantage, of him playing at the top of his game and knock on wood, being healthy. And no, I don't think that we're early in his contract and I'm going to start worrying and fretting about his age. I'm not. I think he's a well-trained athlete. But when you have Markstrom playing at his peak, we need to take advantage of that, right? Tanev is healthy. He's known to be injury prone. We need to take advantage of that. He's been a rock back there for us. Backlund is going to be on the wrong side of 30 after this year. And what happens there? RFAs are going to demand cash this year. We got Tkachuk, Mangiapane, and Shillington standing there with their wallets open. Yes, we hold the cards instead of the Gaudreau where he holds the cards, but the check still has to get written. And a qualifying offer of 9+ for Tkachuk is going to be really, really hard to swallow. We've got to pay those guys, we got to pay Gaudreau, and then we got to figure out how to pay some bottom six guys to add some depth to this team. Every team's going to be throwing in their $1 million or $750,000 bottom six guys, and you hope you get the right ones, and that's what we're going to need to do. And you know what? Another reason we need to go for it is there's a lot of good things going on right now with this team. It's really, really going very positively, and we need to take advantage of that and capitalize that because things change from year to year. Look at last year in Calgary where we were and how we were fretting and freaking. And look where we're at this year, and look at how positive it is. You need to capitalize and take advantage of that. And you know what? For once, we have playoff experience. I didn't really think we did until I started doing some research, and I went through every single player on our roster and tallied up the points. And it's not just one guy with a ton of games. Yes, Lucic has a lot, but it's not just one or two guys that have playoff experience. There's a lot. Our forwards have 473 games of playoff experience. Our defense has 121 games of playoff experience. And our goalies have 15. I'd put that up against a lot of teams. We don't have playoff experience together with this group since we've kind of shuffled the core a little bit. And what we do have for playoff experience is pretty god-awful because when you look back at previous year's playoff experience, we kind of looked at Mike Smith as our guy that performed well in the playoffs. He's gone. Cam Talbot performed well in the playoffs for us. He's gone. And Sam Bennett performed well for us in the playoffs, and Sam Bennett's gone. So some of these guys that we have on this team and what's left that we didn't get rid of the core need to perform in the playoffs. But what better year to have that opportunity? When you're playing in a Sutter system, it gives you the opportunity to succeed. We currently have the hottest first line in hockey. And with the exception of a couple games where I've thought that they struggled a little bit, this team is this line has been consistent all year. That's huge. We've got to go all in and capitalize on that. And now playing a second year under a coach like Daryl Sutter, who's proven that he can take a team, and once you get to the playoffs, he can maneuver you deep in the playoffs and even win. Now, I'm not calling the Flames right now, Stanley Cup contenders. But I can tell you one thing. There isn't a GM or a coach that when they see the Calgary Flames are going to be their opponent in round one isn't going to be like, this is going to be a tough out. Because it is. It is going to be a very tough out. We have a .619 point percentage. And we're plus 32 goal differential, which is really, really good. This team is better than any of us expected. And we need to take advantage of that. Let's face it, there's a lot of potential changes that can happen next year, and especially in the next 2 years. Gaudreau could be gone for nothing. As tough as that is to say, and as hard a pill as that would be to swallow in Calgary, it's reality. Matthew Tkachuk might take a one-year qualifying offer next year, take his $9+ million, and peace out. The odds of both of those happening, I think, are fairly minimal, but they can happen. There's so many unknowns. And that's why I think when you're playing as well as this team's playing and things are going as well as they are going, we need to capitalize on it. This is a year you need to go for it and be all in Calgary. Now, what does all in mean? Well, I think number one thing this team needs to go after is a second line scorer. Think about how a right shot, right wing, second line scorer helps this team. How much depth that brings us. Let's face it, as much as I like him, Dylan Dubé hasn't done the job this year. We need to fill that spot. Some versatility where that right winger could play center would also make them an ideal target. I also think it'd be nice to order. I wish we could just go to McDonald's and roll up in Tim Hortons and we'll take a second line right wing 35 plus goals. Yeah. I wish we could just order that. We need a depth forward too. I got one in mind. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Everyone says we should add somebody on the back end. And I don't. I like our back end. I like our experience on our back end. I think we're pretty deep. I think we're pretty big. I think we're pretty physical. And I would hate to spend the money on that when we need that second line scorer more than that. Now, I know you can't have enough defensemen come playoff time, but I think we're sitting just fine there. I really do. So who would I target? Well, I'm going to go through a bunch of players now, and I'll tell you if I think the team is going to target them or even if there's maybe no chance. And they're all guys that have been rumored or talked about coming to Calgary. Let's start with Joe Pavelski from the Dallas Stars. He has a no-move clause, so the first question is, would he come to Calgary? $7 million, a right wing. He's going to be a pending UFA, a proven winner, a proven playoff performer. Unfortunately, I don't think he would go to Calgary. The next one I got a star next to because this is a guy I would really, really like. And that's Tomas Hertl. He has a no trade clause. So that begs the question, would he come to Calgary? $5.6 million, can play right winger center. He's 28 years old, a pending UFA for the San Jose Sharks. The guy can score. Score, score, and score. And he's having a hell of a year this year. The bad thing is, here he'd be a rental, which is probably what they're in the business for this year with all these contracts coming up. I know if you give up a prospect or you give up something, you kind of want to have him for long term or even short term, but the fact is, I think it's going to have to be a rental this year that we acquire. Will he come to Canada? It's an in-division trade. Does that matter? To me, I don't think it makes a bit of difference. If I was a general manager and I was the Sharks general manager, I was trading to Calgary, and if we're the Sharks and we fall out of this, I don't care because he's a rental. He's not staying in Calgary. Anyways, the next one on my list, I got this guy, star two, Tyler Toffoli, 4.25, right wing, left wing, 29 years old, was a great performer for the Vancouver Canucks in the postseason. Two more years left on his deal with Montreal. They are going to be selling. He would be a good target. Played with Sutter when in LA. I think he'd be a good fit, and I would really like to see an addition of him. Patrick Laine is a name that was floated around, $7.5 million, right winger, 23 years old, pending RFA with the Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't know. I've loved Patrick Laine when he came into the league. And if you'd have told me 6 years ago that there was a rumor that Patrick Laine was coming to Calgary, I would have done backflips for him. I don't think I'd want him now. I don't. I just don't like his style of play. I don't like what he brings to the table. I don't like his work ethic, plain and simple. I don't think he'd be a good fit with Daryl Sutter, and I don't think this one's going to happen. Jordan Eberle has been talked about, $5.5 million, right winger, 31 years old, signed for two more years with the Seattle Kraken. I don't know how I feel about this one. He might be a breakout player for the Flames. I don't know if I like the fit on that one. Now, the next one, when I mentioned a depth guy, this is the guy that I would target the hardest and go after him. Cale Yarncroc, $2 million only, which is going to make him enticing for everybody. A bottom six guy, 30 years old, can play both the right and left side. A pending UFA, Seattle's going to be moving him for sure. I would love this addition. Would love it. I just think there's going to be a high bidding war for him. I really do. I think it's going to be a pretty good bidding war just because of his price tag and what he brings to the table. JT Miller's been talked about, 28 years old, center right wing, or excuse me, left wing, 5.25, one more year left on his contract in Vancouver. After seeing him, how he was in overtime, I don't want him. He's a point-of-game guy, which would be amazingly good. I don't think he's coming to Canada, and I think I can tell you right now where JT Miller is going to end up. Pretty confident. New York Rangers. Perfect fit for them. That's exactly what they need also. I don't know. I think JT Miller heads to the New York Rangers. Connor Garland was rumored, 25-year-old, can play both sides of the wing. 4.95, has four more years in Vancouver. I have no idea why Vancouver would move him. I have no idea. They got him at a decent price. I don't know that this would be a fit in Calgary anyways. Another Vancouver guy that was been talked about on the move, Tyler Motte. Vancouver's asking price was freaking astronomical for him. The 26-year-old both can play both wings. 1.225 UFA in Vancouver. I don't know. I mean, depends on what you'd have to give, I guess. I'm not ruling him out. I that would be one that I would have to look at the deal and be like, all right, does this deal work or not work? Claude Giroux has been talked about. I don't see this happening. He's been the talk of the week, is on the move, and is Calgary a potential landing spot? I don't think he'd come to Canada, number one, and he holds complete control. High price tag also. I don't think Claude Giroux has come to Calgary. A name that surfaced today, and I loved it when I heard it, Andrew Kopp, Winnipeg Jets. But Winnipeg keeps stumbling. This 27-year-old is going to be a pending UFA at a good price tag at 3.64. Can play left wing or center. Whoa, how would he slot in for the Flames? This would be a guy. He'd be in... Yarncroke would be my bottom depth guy to go after hardcore. Hurdle, Toffoli, and Kopp would be my upper six guy that I would go after hardcore. Ben Chiarot, Mark Giordano, both rumored going to Calgary. I would hate this. We're past the Giordano thing as much as I loved him, have respect for him. I think we've moved past that, right? And we moved past that positively. So I would not like that, plus the price tag is too high. Ben Chiarot, that's Nikita Zadorov with a higher price tag. What would we be doing there? I don't understand that. So what would the cost of all this be? Well, I'm not going to break down individual trades on this show today, but some of the things that would be probably in our bag of tricks to move. The first rounder that we have this year, and everybody says, well, you can't give up a first rounder. And I always thought that, you know, Trulieven did give up first rounders, but he really hasn't. Look back. We've drafted our first round pick the last 2 years. Like, it just seems like it sometimes. Second rounder, we've got two of them. We got one of them in the Sam Bennett trade. I would bet that one of those gets moved. Glenn Godden might be a trade piece. Joseph Kinneval might be a trade piece. He's a 24-year-old defenseman. Godden's a 24-year-old center right wing. Yusuf Alamaki has been talked about. I think he'd be a decent person to trade. 23-year-old defenseman, not living up to the expectations that a lot of Flames fans and Flames management had. But you know what? I'm not writing him off either, because I think he could definitely be an asset in the coming years. But he'd be a trade piece, right? Another one that would be difficult to see moved, but could be, is Dustin Wolf, the 20-year-old goalie that's just been tearing up the WHL in the previous two seasons and just lighting up the AHL this year. But guys, we have Markstrom for four or five more years. I don't know off the top of my head, but I know it's at least four. I don't know. It's a thought. I think he could get us a decent return, but we'll see what happens there. I did see the name Jacob Pelletier listed, the 20-year-old. I don't think he gets moved. I don't think Connor Zary gets moved. But I guess, you know, you just don't know what the move's going to be this year. Those would be the trade chips on the table. I think a Dylan Dubé might be a trade chip that would be on the table off the active roster. That'd be about all, I think, off the active roster. cap space. Well, now you can accrue cap space this year. And what that's going to do is it's going to push most of the moves more towards the deadline. Teams are cap strapped, and it's not just the Flames. It's like virtually like 24 of the 31 teams are just up against the cap. Right now, the Flames currently have $2.5 million in cap space. And if they hold out till deadline day, they'll have 5.5 in cap space. And I think you're going to see more of a push the day before or 2 days before and trade deadline day. We might get a really, really exciting trade deadline day this year. I know I get up early that day, and it's we're going to be doing some live shows that day, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's an exciting day, lots to talk about, and we'll see what happens that day. When will the big move happen? And will the big move happen? That's the real question. Honestly, I do think Brad Treliving will be doing everything in his power to make a move this year. Plus, with Daryl Sutter working with him closely. You know, Daryl Sutter in the past has had zero problems trading first-round picks. He did it in Calgary. Don't forget that. I'm not saying it was the right move, but he did do it. I think there's going to be more of a push. I know there's pressure on Treliving this year. We need success in Calgary. We brought in the coach to do it. I think there's going to be a big push out of the Calgary Flames this year to land a big fish at trade deadline and bolster this lineup to what we need it to make a big, strong cup run. My biggest fear factor is that players hold the cards on their destination a lot. And you know, will they want to come to Canada with all these restrictions and stuff like that and bring their families here? And you just don't know. Think those restrictions could be all gone by trade deadline. We can all pray, right? But it's still a factor. And sadly, it is playing a role in some of this. And it's been vocalized by some players and by, you know, a lot of media members. But on the flip side of that, if you're successful in Calgary, you're going to be a rock star. Think about the 04 run and think about how the players were treated and look at the Cup winning 89 team in Calgary and how those guys are heroes to this day in this community. And I think players realize that. And that's one of the lures to a Canadian market. And it's like, I mean, shoot, I'm not even close to being good enough to be a pro, but if I was, that would have drawn me to play in a market that cared about their team like a Calgary or God, I hate to say it, Edmonton or, you know, where you are the show. I can't wait to see how this plays out. I think it's going to be a really exciting few weeks here to see how the Flames manage this schedule and how they can work it out and really what happens on this trade deadline day. It's going to be really, really intriguing. Joining Flames Unfiltered now, he has been on the show before. He is from the Debate Hockey Podcast. My co-host, Blake Fryers, looks like he's sitting on the beach.
Currently in Hawaii right now. Wishing
enjoying All-Star break. We got Blake on the show today to talk about this crazy-ass Pacific Division. And, you know, I look at this Pacific Division, and it's really, honestly, the only division that's going to have a battle down the stretch in my mind. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what all pans out. And do you think there's any other divisions in the NHL that are going to have a race like the Pacific's going to have?
Maybe the Metro.
The East is all decided. The East is completely
decided. Yeah, but like it's decided. Oh, you mean like teams that can make the playoffs?
Yeah. Like this race in the Pacific is going to be good because I look at this division and I'm like, you know, you got LA and Anaheim sitting in second and third. And I'm like, Calgary and Edmonton are fourth and fifth. I could see them leapfrogging there, but I could see Edmonton going down. I could see Calgary going down. I could see San Jose going down. I don't see them going up. Vancouver, I don't know. I can't imagine
that. Vancouver, I think Vancouver is going to give it a month here until the trade deadline, and if they're in the race, I think they'll keep their guys. If they're not, I think Miller gets traded and so on and so forth.
So you think we'll skip ahead here. I had that question, but you think Vancouver's going to take a month to determine it?
Yeah. I think that Jim Rutherford and Patrick Dalvin are going to gauge the interest of Miller or Besser, like what it would cost to re-sign them long term. And if they don't like that number, they'll probably look to trade him because They've talked about creating cap flexibility for the future going down the road. And that's something that's going to have to get dealt with because they're not going to be able to keep everybody. I mean, Horvat and Miller after next year. You got Pedersen the year after that. And so we'll see.
Is anybody safe right there? Is anybody
safe? No, there's nobody safe. The only untouchables for me would probably be Thatcher Demko and Quinn Hughes.
How about Oliver Ekman-Larsson, since I don't know that anybody would take on that deal?
Yeah, he hasn't been bad. I mean, he has.
No, and I don't mean it that way at all. I don't mean it that way at all.
Like, yeah, nobody's probably touching the deal. You might get somebody to take Myers after this summer when they pay his bonus because the real dollars go significantly lower. Like it was the same thing in Louis Erickson. That's why they were able to trade him because his bonus was due. So, I think there's going to be lots of teams interested in Miller. I think Calgary's one of them. Boston's one of them. Rangers. The list goes on. Toronto's been interested. I don't know how they're going to help or make that work.
I've also heard, though, that JT Miller wants to the States.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean,
does he have a no trade?
No.
No. Okay.
With Besser, he's got a $7.5 million qualifying offer looming over his head, and that's a decision that Vancouver's going to have to make. So I'm not giving him $7.5 million. So I'm not qualifying him at that.
Who will, though, Blake?
I don't know. He's gonna have to sacrifice some money to sign for term.
I know he is, but is that in Vancouver?
I think that would be the smartest thing to do if I was him because of his injury problems.
Me too. I totally would. But do you think he does that in Vancouver?
I don't think so. I think that Besser and Miller are both traded. Yeah.
I wonder where Besser will go.
I don't know. Minnesota, maybe? Yeah. Around there?
Yeah.
I don't know. They love bringing home Minnesota boys, so maybe.
Oh, my God. That's why they've sucked for so long. Can Los Angeles and Anaheim, which are teams that have both surprised us, we talked about it numerous times on our show, and we've talked about it on this show, actually, too. Is this something sustainable this year for L.A. and Anaheim?
Yeah, LA's been good. I mean, and LA's only going to get better, and so is Anaheim. They're both young. Well, not young, but they got young talent coming up, and it'll be like, as long as you got Gibson and you got Troy Terry filling at, Zegras is playing well, you got Kevin Shattenkirk's having a rebound year for Anaheim this year, and then in LA, they still got a good team. Like,
yeah,
and they're young and they're like, it's, I don't know if they're both gonna make the playoffs, but it wouldn't shock me.
I would shock me if both of them made it. I think one will make it. I do, and I
said back in November that Anaheim's making the playoffs.
I like Anaheim. I like that team. I like their young mix. I like their goaltending. I like their back end. I look at this team and I'm like, man, they scare me more than LA does. Just because LA is older. I don't know. I think I feel like good things can happen in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Do you think Calgary is a playoff team?
I think Calgary is a playoff team. Jacob Markstrom's playing just so well. And Johnny Gaudreau just kind of rejuvenated himself. I mean, he's did you see on The Athletic that he's leading the Hart voting?
Is he really? Well, they haven't voted yet.
They did like a poll and he was first, which kind of surprised me.
I don't know.
There was two goalies in the top five.
I mean, look at how good of a year he's having.
Like I told you a couple months ago, contract year, Johnny's playing well all of a sudden. Well, I predicted funny that. How that works.
So what would you
look at Kadri in Colorado?
Isn't it just crazy?
It's unbelievable how like the pressure is just off in a contract year. Well, maybe it's not like.
No, I think the pressure's on. I think the pressure's on.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. Like there's more pressure, like to perform to get a new contract. So
yeah, because it's all about money. They want money.
Yeah.
It pisses me off. But what do you think Calgary's strengths are, and what are their weaknesses?
Oh, they got a good goalie. I like their back end. Like, I think Shillington's been pretty good this year. I'm a big fan of Rasmus Anderson.
He's really good on this year. Rasmus is having a rebound year after a year last year that I thought he struggled last year.
Monahan doesn't do much for me. They need to get better up the middle. Like, I honestly, like, if, how many years has Backlund have left on his deal?
I like Backlund.
You do?
He is a, you gotta look at Backlund differently. You can't look at Backlund.
Yeah, he's a great third line center, but right now Monahan's producing like a third line center, so really Backlund's your second line center.
But you know what? Backlund drives the bus. Now Backlund's name's not going to be on the score sheet
often. He kills penalties and does all the little things.
He does everything. And you know what? If you look at his game, and I was down on him early in the year. I was pissy about him, but he has gradually gotten better and better and better. In the last 2 weeks he's been one of the best players for the Flames. Getting chances after chances, buried a few, doesn't bury enough. He needs to be better at that. But I look at him as like, I don't know, maybe I give him a free pass because he's always been one of my favorites, but like he just does the things that often go unnoticed.
Yeah. Yeah. Monahan's been really disappointing for me this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Dubé hasn't done much for me.
Dubé's done nothing. He's been my biggest.
I like Tkachuk. I love Lindholm. Lucic has even been good this year for you guys. Vladar has been a good backup. Like there's a lot of stuff.
He has, hasn't he? There is a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff going right now in Calgary, and they just like, they're playing the Daryl Sutter hard nose game and they're finding ways to get results, but we'll see if that continues.
Well, it's going to be a tough schedule ahead. And that's, you know, that's one of the things.
They don't call it East anymore though. So
no more games in the Eastern Conference. They have the 20 of their next 27 are at home, but
20 of 27
are at home. And they are jammed though. They have games like crazy. Like this week's just out of control. Wednesday night, they get Vegas. Thursday night's Toronto. Saturday night's the Islanders. You know, it's a frantic pace now for the Flames. They play 40 games in 80 days.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to fill in these postponed games.
And it's not just them. The only thing that Calgary has going from it, some of the other ones don't, is that they don't have to go out east.
Yeah.
So that's good. What teams in this division do you think will be sellers?
We'll see what happens in Vancouver. Like I could see them selling off pieces. San Jose, if they can shed some contracts, I think they would be a seller. I think Thomas Hertl's all but gone. They'd be silly not to mm-hmm. do something like that. LA, I don't really see, like, if you can find somebody for Dustin Brown, maybe. Like, I don't, like, other than that, I don't really see them doing anything. Who else we got here? Vegas is going to have to somewhat sell. They got to shed some cap.
Is that not the craziest scenario ever? Is like, Vegas sits atop the Pacific with 57 points. And
they have to shed 4.3. I just saw a thing today, so.
Yeah, and so they're actually going to be considered a seller at deadline here. Before deadline, they have to shed it because
like, I don't know if they can put guys on waivers to get that money down or send guys down or.
Well, most of these guys are on one-way deals, man. You can't just.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how that's all going to work out, but I do know that Eichel practiced today with a no contact or with a non, with a. He wasn't
non-contact jersey.
Yeah, he was practicing with a regular jersey.
Which is insane because just. Looking at Vegas and seeing that they could get Pacioretty and Eichel now in their lineup, it's like their center depth's up the ass.
Yep.
Like you've got Stevenson producing at almost a first line rate right now, and when Eichel comes back, he's your third line center.
Mm-hmm.
So the rich get richer, right? We'll see if they can get done the playoffs, but that team is pretty scary.
They still need to finagle a lot, and it's going to be hard.
The only thing that I don't like about Vegas is their goalie.
I don't either.
Like, I'm just not sold on Leonard. Like, I don't know.
I'm not either.
There's only one goalie in the Pacific that I don't like, and it's Leonard. The rest are good.
Would you like the crack? You like Grubauer?
I like Grubauer. He has a shitty team. He's dealt a shitty hand, but he signed. He made the bet and signed his contract, so he's got to deal with that.
He did.
So,
are any teams in this division a cup contender for you?
Yeah, Vegas.
Oh,
Vegas would be my only one.
Would you consider Calgary or Edmonton?
Edmonton, no. Calgary, not quite. No, they're just not.
No, I would agree, Blake. I would agree. Do I think Calgary or even Edmonton could be a team that goes on?
I see him win a couple rounds, yeah.
A hot run?
See him win a couple rounds.
Yeah. So I guess we'll nail you down here. We got a couple minutes left on the hit. Who are the teams that make the playoffs in this division?
So it's not 4-4, right?
No, but I mean,
look at the central standings right now.
Let's look where it sits right now. If the season stopped or started right now, there would be four teams in, because Dallas is muddy in the waters. Dallas just will not get their act together and win. And they're in that fifth spot for the central. I don't see Winnipeg coming back. Chicago sure as hell isn't, and Arizona sure as hell isn't.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting what Vancouver, San Jose can do here. Because that's really the only two that can sneak in.
But, is Edmonton going to get in?
I don't know. Right now, I would take my locks, not locks, but who I think's going to make it, would be Anaheim, Vegas, Calgary.
And I would agree.
The last spot is a toss-up between Edmonton and Vancouver. I don't know. Vancouver's only, they're 8 points out of a playoff, or 6 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But they got to give games, though, so. They got some work to do, but yeah, I don't know. I don't see Dallas making it. I don't see Winnipeg making it. So,
the Athletic posted.
Who knows? Central could have five teams.
Yeah. Shit, the way it's going. Yeah.
If Dallas figures it out.
I look at that Dallas team and I'm like, this team should be so much better.
I do not know. It's a loaded question because there's still, 35 games left?
Yeah. Quite a bit of hockey to be played. There's more than that. And if you're a Flames fan, there's 40 games to be played. The Athletic put out their projections. Vegas has today they updated them. Vegas has a 97% chance of making the playoffs. Calgary has a 93% chance. Edmonton has an 80% chance. LA has a 49%. Anaheim 33%. Vancouver 8%.
Anaheim is how much?
33%.
And Edmonton is 80%.
I know.
What kind of smoke and crack are these guys doing?
That's how the Vegas lines are too. If you go look at Vegas's lines, they're goofy like that too.
I might hammer them making the playoffs then. Anaheim.
Well, go on Vegas. The odds are you're going to make big money then.
I might do it. I might have to hop on there. 30%?
I make you some money on this one, Blake.
I'd have to do it. And I have to make the playoffs. Everybody hop on the wagon.
Throw me a little bone, I don't know. All right, Blake. Thanks for joining the show. You can check Blake and I out on the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group webpage. We do a show every single week called the Debate Hockey Podcast. Been doing it for 5 years. We talk all the happenings around the National Hockey League. You can check that out on Monday nights. And find that on YouTube or any podcast player that is out there. Blake, thanks for joining me on Flames Unfiltered. And we'll see how your Canucks do. The matchups when we play the Vancouver, I don't care how good Vancouver is or how bad they are. They're always good games. And they're
1-0 win last time. That was a boring game. My God.
You know what? I didn't think it was. I thought it was fairly entertaining, though.
It's a one-man show. The shots were 25-4 in the second period.
In the first period, you got one shot, dude. You got one shot.
I can't even say I watched the game.
You didn't watch it. You were busy. You were in Cranbrook, I believe.
Oh, yeah, Cranbrook.
You see how I remember that?
Yeah, we played so many games lately, it's, I don't even remember.
You've been very, very busy, but.
And grinding.
Appreciate you joining the show. I would say good luck to the Canucks, but you're not going to tell me good luck to the Flames. So I guess we'll just go our separate ways and talk again soon. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, hockey fans, check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
All right, thanks for Blake Friars joining the show. We've been doing the Debate Hockey Podcast every Monday night for 5 years now, and we have a lot of fun talking NHL on that show. So check that show out too if you guys get some free time. Let's talk Flames news now. And Johnny Gaudreau represented the Calgary Flames in the All-Star game, and it was the sixth time that he has been in an All-Star game. He was in 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, and now 2022. Well, he had an assist in the game. They only got to play one game because the Pacific lost out right away. But he did get an assist to the Timo Meier goal in the first period. But short-lived event for Johnny Gaudreau. In the skills challenge, he participated in the NHL Honda Accuracy Shooting. Sebastian Aho ended up winning that challenge. Congrats to Johnny Hockey for representing the Calgary Flames in Vegas at the NHL All-Star Weekend. Now, at the All-Star Weekend, Gary Bettman did his annual State of the NHL address. And here's a little rundown on what was talked about with Calgary. The question was posed to him about the Calgary Arena situation. And he said that he hopes that there's progress in it, and then they get a new arena in Calgary because Calgary is a great hockey market. And he talked about that the city kept creating changes and changes and changes to the original plan. And what happened there is that none of these changes were part of the original agreement, so the cost kept going up, and the Flames, after a certain amount of time of getting all these new things and new things and new things, were like, well, we're not going to incur any more costs, so, you know, the deal's off. And that's where it's at currently, and we hope that changes. And I've heard some good rumblings here in the last week or two, so hopefully we get that back on track. And get that arena situation settled. He also talked about the draft in Montreal, and he said that if there is restrictions still in Canada at the time, the draft will be moved out of Canada back to, or moved to the States where they can have a full crowd. The talk about these restrictions also brought up conversation, and it was admitted that the NHL has been talked to from Canadian owners about temporarily moving their team to the States. Seems like some of the restrictions are starting to let up here in the last couple days, and hopefully, we can get back to some normality as far as hockey goes, and we can fill these arenas back up and enjoy it. There was also a player agent survey that came out this week on The Athletic, and there was a couple things that I wanted to talk about that involved Calgary. One of the questions was, is there a team or owner that you would... These are questions were asked to player agents. So these, the top 20 player agents, they were held in, you know, they were, you know, not publicly what each one said, so they were in private. But the question was, is there a team or team owner you would encourage your client to avoid? And Calgary did come up on that, where two of the 20 said they would avoid the Flames. And they went further on it and said why they would avoid the Flames, and the reason was the facility. And that is just one more reason. It's just so important that the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Group and the city get this figured out so that we can get this new arena in Calgary. It's a long time coming. It would be good for the city, not just for hockey, but just economically. And would also be a bit of happiness in a time where we've struggled the last couple of years. It was interesting to see that the conditions were the reasons that these agents steered their players out of Calgary. And another question that came up is, would you have concerns about your client signing with a Canadian team? Now, they didn't give the reasons, whether it's because of restrictions or taxes or anything like that, But of the 20, of the 20, 12 of them did say yes. And that doesn't bode well for Canadian teams. And nobody wants to hear that. I don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that because we want to acquire these guys in Calgary. And hell, the first part of the show, we were talking about all in and how we're going to go out and get these guys. And boy, you just don't want to see that being a hindrance. When we get back to hockey now tomorrow night, taxi squads are no longer. COVID testing regulations changed where you'll only be testing symptomatic players, and that's a good sign. Daryl Sutter will be happy about both of those, I know. We might even get a smile out of him. You think we'll get a smile out of him? I don't know. But, yeah, good to see those positive steps, and it's good to have hockey back on Wednesday night. Now let's talk about the Facebook poll I did this week. My good friends at Flames Hub and Calgary Flames fans, two Facebook groups that if you're listening to this podcast, you're a Flames fan, you need to get on and be part of these groups. They talk Flames hockey every single day. Game days are amazing. All kinds of good Flames talk there. But I posed a question on what is your favorite primary Calgary Flames jersey? Now I'll put those up on the screen so that you can see them. And, the poll ran for a day, a little over a day. 54 people responded with what jersey scheme they liked the best. Number one, I would describe as the current one, and also the jerseys we saw back in the early 80s when the Flames had so much success. Jersey scheme number two was the ones we just got done using last year and the previous years before that. The last, I believe it's been about 8 years. Jersey number three was when we went on our 04 Cup run with the Ginla and all the crew. And jersey number four was the old pedestal jersey. You can see it with Fleury's name on the screen. That was, I can't remember how many years that jersey was around, but it was a fair amount. The numbers came in number one, the jerseys we're using right now, I call them the retro jerseys. 27 people, 51% of the respondents voted for that jersey, and that was my favorite too. Number two, got 32%. So the jerseys we just got rid of had 32% of the vote, 17 people like that. Jersey number three, when we went on our major cup run in 04, 16% voted for that one. And the jersey that Theo Fleury used to wear, we called it the pedestal jersey. Jersey number four, just two people wanted that one. A little surprised on that. Look for next week. We're going to be breaking out the special event, the Heritage Classic, the Blasty jersey. We're going to see who wins that battle as we've had a few third jerseys that we want to bring up. So you can check out Flames Hub or Calgary Flames fans. That poll will be out next week, and we'll give the results here on next week's episode. So check that one out as we, those guys over there help me out, and we do these polls, and it's fun to see what the fans think.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, things get fast and furious. Let's preview the games ahead. 7 straight at the Saddle Dome. It starts Wednesday night as the Vegas Golden Knights come into Calgary. Vegas currently sits atop the Pacific Division with 57 points. They've played 46 games, 6 more than the Calgary Flames. This will be the second of 3 meetings with this team. Calgary did lose December 5th, 3-2 to the Vegas Golden Knights in Vegas. They will play one more time this year, April 14th in Calgary. Then no rest for the Flames. Thursday night, they're back at the Saddle Dome again as the red-hot Toronto Maple Leafs come to town. They currently sit third in the Atlantic with 61 points. Second meeting for this team this year and their final meeting. The Flames did lose their first meeting in Toronto 2-1 in overtime. Really good game. Just Flames fell short that night. Those will be a huge back-to-back this week. Friday, the team will be off, and Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, the New York Islanders come to town. That should be another good matchup. They'll have Sunday, Monday off, and then another back-to-back at the Saddle Dome next week. On Tuesday, the Columbus Blue Jackets come to town, and Wednesday, the red-hot, young, and exciting Anaheim Ducks come to town. That should be a good matchup. That'll be February 16th, a Wednesday night. So 2 weeks in a row, back-to-backs at the Saddle Dome. Boy, it'll be good to have Flames hockey back in the Saddle Dome. You know, we usually do the show Wednesday nights, but next week we can't even do it Wednesday night. We're back next Thursday night because there's a game Wednesday night at the Saddle Dome. We shuffle these live shows to try to do it when it's easiest for all the fans to join in on the show. We're back the 17th, Thursday night. Check out flamesunfiltered.com when you get some free time this week. Flames fans, let's get out to the Saddle Dome. Please stay healthy, safe, smiling. Go Flames! Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again, and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.